Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
This is turning into a regional conflict, which does pose a threat to the security of the United States.
Only Iraq can save Iraq.
Fighting for Idaho.
No justice! No peace!
There was at least one shot fired within the car.
He started to get down, but the officer still approached with his weapon drawn, and he fired several more shots, and my friend died.
Fighting for you.
What the heck's going on with the world? You've got Gaza. You've got Iraq. You've got Syria. You've got the Christians being slaughtered. You've got the Chinese. Am I leaving something out? Oh, the border.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning.
That's a lot of ding-dongs.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, as we get ready to go back to school. Of course, some controversy going on in the Gem State and across the country involving school lunch programs and what should and shouldn't be in there. Joining us now is Kyle Olson from the Education Action Group. Kyle, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about school lunches. What's going on?
Well, what's been happening is that the two-phase reform of the National School Lunch Program is being implemented. The first phase was regulating what was actually on the tray, what was in the school lunch. That's been happening over the last couple of years. But then in July 1st was when we saw the new rules take effect regarding bake sales, a la carte items, snacks, and those sorts of things. And that's why we're seeing all these headlines about, bake sales no longer allowed and that sort of thing. Because what we've got is we have the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. Trying to change the way kids are eating. And so they're issuing these rules from Washington, D.C., and they're expecting school districts across America to implement them.
Well, how crazy are the rules?
Well, one of the reasons we're seeing these bake sales being banned, essentially, is because sugary snacks, fatty snacks, salty snacks, those sorts of things are no longer allowed. Kids in middle schools can't buy like Gatorade or Powerade, those sorts of drinks from vending machines. And so we're seeing, a lot of these changes that parents are saying, what is this all about? I mean, it's my responsibility as a parent to feed my children, to make sure that they are, creating healthy eating habits. That's not the role of schools. That's not the role of government.
Well, where does the First Lady come down in this?
Well, this has really kind of been her signature initiative, and this all got started back in 2010 when the Democrats were still in charge of everything in Congress, and they passed these reforms. And after they passed them, then they started implementing them. And so this really has kind of been her signature program, and she has been the one out, fighting the Republicans who have been questioning it. Doubling down against school districts that have been opting out or are raising questions about food waste, excessive administrative costs related to the paperwork and all of that sort of thing. But I think generally speaking, this really has been her program.
Now, what type of pressure can she or the administration put on local schools, Kyle? Is it just all about cutting funds?
Yeah, basically what it boils down to is in order to receive the federal reimbursements for school lunches, you as a school district have to abide by their rules. And so basically what the feds have said is if you want our money, then you will, implement these healthy lunches. And as that has developed, what school districts have seen is, huge losses for a variety of reasons. One, they've had to spend more on healthier foods, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, those sorts of things. They've also seen higher costs when it comes to administration because there's new bureaucratic, paperwork and reporting and those sorts of things. But then also they've seen a decline in sales. And so we've seen school districts losing sometimes, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to participate in the program. And so one of the reasons that they're dropping out is because they're saying we can continue to offer healthier foods, maybe not exactly what Michelle Obama wants, but healthier foods, and we won't lose as much money if we actually forego the federal reimbursements. And so several school districts that we've written about and others around the country are coming to that conclusion, that they can actually make out better by not taking the federal money and maintaining control at the local level.
What about the kids' reaction?
Well, generally speaking, it hasn't been positive. I mean, one, they, you know, if you're used to having pizza every day and suddenly you are faced with a black bean burger, that's not going to go over well. And it just seems to me that there's got to be some middle ground here. I completely understand and sympathize with the argument that school lunches should be healthier. I mean, I remember when I went to school, we had pizza and fries every day.
Heck yeah!
Not exactly the healthiest thing. On the other hand, giving kids kale and black bean burgers and, you know, all of this low-fat, quote-unquote, healthy food doesn't seem to be working. But the administration doesn't seem to be too interested in actually trying to find some middle ground. They just are doubling down, and they're threatening Republicans and school districts that this is not going to change, and, you know, we're basically going to force this, make this work. And that's why we're seeing a lot of the rub.
You know, that would be great if we were on Top Chef, but not so much for the kids. I mean, lunch was something that the kids look forward to, you know, pizza day or taco day, you know, now kale day. Oof. Takes all the fun out of being a kid.
And when you do the math, you know, you take a typical, most school districts are in for 180 days. And so just doing the math, that's 180 lunches, you know, typically, ignoring half days, that kids would eat in the school. That equates to 15% of their meals. And so to think that by suddenly giving kids kale and black bean burgers for 15% of their meals is either going to cut obesity or change their eating habits, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But that's what the administration is trying to do, and as we've been reporting, it's not working.
So as far as what's next, what's the administration's next move since everybody appears to be revolting?
Well, I think they're going to continue on. And one of the interesting things is we've been seeing that, at least according to the statistics, because of the food that the kids don't want to eat from the hot lunches, more kids are bringing a home-packed lunch. And my fear is that the administration is going to see that, and they're going to say, well, then we need to start regulating home-packed lunches. And I think when that happens, that's where you'll see the real revolt, because there's a difference between a district, you know, offering a black bean burger and not really telling kids, because behind the scenes they have to do it to get the federal money. But if you actually have a school administrator, you know, picking through a kid's lunch and tossing aside their peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or forcing them to eat a school lunch, I think that's where you're going to see a lot more revolt.
580KIDO, as we continue on, Kyle Olson with us, Kevin Miller in the morning from the Education Action Group. Doesn't the administration really, whether it's Common Core or educational standards, have other things to worry about besides the food that kids eat? I mean, let's face it, 15% of our day is lunch with the kids. That's not enough to make you a fatty.
Right. It seems to me that there are bigger problems. You know, whether it's the graduation rate or student proficiency rates. I mean, those sorts of indicators are direct indicators of not only how, you know, a student is going to be as a citizen, but, you know, how they're going to be able to maintain a job or sustain a family, or those sorts of things. But they don't seem really too concerned about that. And that being said, you know, I don't know how much of a role they have to play in that sort of thing, because, you know, that would in essence be a federal, you know, sort of program that they would be developing to deal with that. But instead of, you know, using their bully pulpit to focus on those sorts of things, higher, you know, effectiveness and that sort of thing, they're instead focusing on lunches. And what's interesting, too, is the sorts of language that the First Lady uses. You know, she has said things like, well, I have two you know, Ivy League degrees, and I couldn't even figure out what my children should eat. And it's just this sort of, you know, condescending attitude towards the rubes in America that if I have an Ivy League degree and I can't figure it out, then you as the average parent, you can't possibly figure it out either.
I guess it really comes down to whether it's the Affordable Care Act, Kyle, or anything else here at 580KIDO. Do we have the freedom to make unhealthy choices? And a lot of it, regardless of what you eat, comes down to genetics.
Right, and that's really what this all boils down to. Anything that the administration does, as you said, whether it's the Affordable Care Act or Common Core or the school lunches, it all comes down to, do people have the freedom to make their own choices, to live their own lives, or are we going to have these progressive overlords trying to make those decisions for us because they're smarter, or they're more educated, or they, you know, make more money, or they have more power, or whatever it is. That's what this all comes down to. It's these people, this group of progressives in control, who want to decide how we should live our lives.
Well, this brings back a fascinating point, that the educators have been put in such a dire fiscal position that they have to revolt, because let's face it, the last thing that you want to do as an educator is get involved in politics, regardless of your own personal beliefs. You want to stay out of that because it's usually a no-win.
Yeah, it really is. And that's one of the ironic things that we hear about schools is people say, you know, politics shouldn't be in schools or schools shouldn't be political. Well, when it comes down to it, they're a political entity insofar as they're a government agency. I mean, these are government schools. You have school boards that are elected by the public. You have a school superintendent. You have state legislators that make decisions about funding and curriculum and standards and all of that sort of stuff. And so these are political, you know, organizations. And so for someone like Michelle Obama, for example, to say that, you know, school lunches shouldn't be political, well, that would be nice. Then maybe, you know, the alternative is to get the government out of education. I mean, that maybe that's what should happen. But until then, these are going to be political decisions. Teachers and school leaders need to take political stances because, you know, we as the taxpayers fund and own the schools and will control how, or we should control, we should reassert our control over how they are governed and managed.
We go to the phones here at 580KIDO. If you have a question concerning the school lunch program, do we really have a freedom to have a hot dog these days? Or and really, what are we teaching the kids? 580-5436. Let's go to Anti-Government Ryan with our friend Kyle Olson and Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Anti-Government Ryan.
Morning, Kevin. Good morning, Kyle. So did Michelle Obama really say, I've got two Ivy League degrees and I can't figure out what to feed my kids, or were you saying that in jest?
No, she actually said that. She said that in a speech, and in a different speech, she said that she was just so busy, as at that time she was a hospital executive. Her husband was, I think, running for the U.S. Senate, and she was just so busy that she didn't have time to, you know, spend the time preparing fresh cooked meals, and so she had to buy a lot of processed meals, and she didn't like that. And so she wanted to figure out ways to provide healthier meals for kids. And so, you know, because of her worldview and her experience, then we all must be like that, and therefore we must, you know, be able to benefit from her experience. And again, it's this sort of condescending attitude that a lot of people, including me, just kind of object to, because we're not all like that. And we can look at products and meals and those sorts of things and figure out what's the best for our kids. And we don't need the First Lady or the administration or the government generally to tell us what should be best for our kids.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go ahead and piggyback off you there, Kyle. I mean, this woman must be a lot dumber than I thought, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that a carrot is a lot healthier than a bag of potato chips, or eating a peach is better for you than eating ice cream. I mean, it's not really complex issues. Furthermore, dicing up some vegetables and steaming them in a frying pan doesn't take a lot of effort. She must be a very extremely lazy individual if she can't put a little bit of water in a pan, dice up some vegetables, and steam them for 10 minutes.
Maybe she has somebody to do that for her.
That's not like making some big quiche or something like that, you know? I mean, that's, I mean, she must really be dumber than I thought. I mean, I guess I give the Obamas too much credit.
All right.
Guys, I just had to get to the bottom of that.
All right, anti-government Ryan, thank you. Much more on the school lunch program next. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on
Hannity. Weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Don't forget, coming up next hour, Senator Crapo in studio, Stephen Yates in studio. We'll be taking your calls. Once again, Kyle Olson joining us, talking about the school lunch program. Let's go to Liberal Steve here at 580-KIDO.
I want everybody to just butt out. That includes the government and everything else. I want a bag of potato chips and a root beer float for breakfast. That's what I'll have. You know, and 50% of marriages end in divorce. So we got women out there and men out there that don't give a crap about the family, especially, you know, especially if they get divorced with children. Let's put it this way. In nature, and I believe highly in nature, it's a woman that takes care of the children. The men, yeah, they provide and they do the best they can. But it's a woman that makes sure her children have nutritious things. It's a woman that makes sure her children exercise. And, yeah, they do it together, but 80% of it is the woman. The woman provides for the children. That's, you know, since the beginning of time, we've got men and women having children that have no idea what they just brought into the world, and they couldn't care what they just brought into the world.
What does that have to do with the school lunch program?
That's what I'm saying. The school lunch program and the government can butt out. It's up to the mother to make sure that lunch is packed and that they have a good lunch or teach their children at home. You know, we keep voting for anything with a D and an R behind it, and, you know, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, it's insanity. That's all I'm saying. And one last thing. Crapo said he'd check into the hemp bill that he didn't put on the ag bill or vote for. Ask him that question. What'd you find out?
Senator, no, I'm Crapo. Sorry. I'm not going to do that.
No. Why not? It's a follow-up.
One call. You should have used your one call then.
I should have, could have. You stay fired up, Kev. I love you, man.
I love you, too. Bye-bye. You make anything out of that? This is what I have to deal with every day, Kyle.
Well, I guess it's interesting a liberal would say that, because generally liberals want to control everything. But, I mean, I agree with the sentiment that, you know, the government, parents know how to raise their children, and we as a society should expect parents to raise their children and not allow the government, especially busybodies in government, to try and take over parental responsibilities. Unfortunately, that's what we're seeing. In fact, the Obama administration is making it easier now for parents to abdicate that responsibility, because we've written about school districts in New Jersey, Florida, and others around the country that are now providing breakfast, lunch, and dinner to kids. And
okay, the need is there. However, as you're pointing out here, I mean, is that really the purpose of the schools?
No. And then they turn around and they complain that they don't have enough money and they don't have enough people and we don't have parental support and all of that sort of thing. Well, when you are usurping the power of the parent and the expectation that the parent will be responsible, what do you expect? And yet this is the way that government is going. And we will continue to get the sorts of results that we're getting, where parents some parents aren't responsible. I think the vast majority still are, but some parents aren't responsible, and they seek to pass that responsibility off to somebody else, whether it's government or a neighbor or whoever.
So, how do you see the First Lady handling the rejection? What's her response?
Well, she's been, like I said, she has been handling it well, because this is her reform, this is her program, and she is going to force it on everybody, whether they want it or not, and so that's what she's doing, and you know, she's getting help. There's a group called Mission Readiness, which I agree with the premise of the group, and that is that kids are too obese. And they aren't educated enough to join the military, and that's a problem. That's a national security problem.
And I get that. But the problem is their solutions are Michelle Obama's lunch program and Common Core.
Well, and cutting phys ed in schools, too.
What's that?
Cutting physical education.
Well, and that's just it. So so on the one hand, we're saying, no, kids need to eat this food. But on the other hand, we're not their physical ed, their gym classes are being cut. And so it doesn't make any sense. But again, what this boils down to me is schools, public schools are governmental bodies. And government is inherently inefficient. And just as a government is a problem. And there's little incentive to innovate, to compete, to improve. And so when we try and force these things through a governmental entity, it's not going to work. And for whatever reason, some people don't either believe that or don't understand that, and they keep trying to reform government schools.
Kyle, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Told to shut up and suffer in silence.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Living the dream each and every day. Blessed to be part of your morning. K. Miller with you. Before we get to a couple other things here, before we get back to the situation of race in Idaho, race in America, I did this last hour, and I have to tell you, I'm so proud of the great community that we have here with this morning show. And I'm amazed at the number of people that are influenced and that are closet listeners. And maybe we should just start a campaign where we're talking about come out of the closet. But over the weekend, I had to do my sister, God bless her, did a social media call out where she dumped a bucket of water on her head. And then everybody in the Miller family, including my mom, which I guess I should put that video on Facebook as well, did the challenge, her grandson challenged her to that. And it's just one of those weird new ways of communicating. So our friend Patriot Ray actually posted on Facebook his ice bucket challenge. I just thought it was the coolest thing, literally. Let me just share it with you here. And this is to raise awareness.
Kevin Miller, this is for you and ALS, so I hope you enjoy it. And you're giving my wife a lot of pleasure right now.
It's a 5-gallon bucket, by the way. Of ice water. Oh, boy.
Football style, Grandma. There you go.
Oh, football style. Oh, boy.
Now that's soaking. Okay, Kevin, that's that.
Boy, it just makes you smile. And just one of the great things that social media can do. And big ups to Patriot Ray there. Still waiting for Tea Party Bob to accept the challenge. And how it works is you cut a video of yourself getting a bucket of ice water dumped on you, and you call people out, and then people, you know, will say, you know, hey, it's to raise ALS. And then, like I said, it's funny because on Patriot Ray's posts here, I've got people critiquing me because I had a small bowl and not a big bucket. Apparently, people like to see yours truly engaged under a bucket of water, but big ups to show contributor Patriot Ray for that. That just made my night last night and had to share it with you. Phone numbers here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, local news. This just in, it looks like the Canyon County Commissioners and the Canyon County Sheriff have agreed to get along. That's right. Fascinating story last week where we had Craig Hansen on, Canyon County Commissioner, critiquing Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue about... Well, about who will and who won't pay for the work release program or the labor detail. Now, remember, the commissioner suspended it. They docked the sheriff's pay $3,000. He's sitting back saying, hey, it's not fair. Now, kids, this is what happens when adults do not get along. And we're going to try and do this without taking shots at people. By the way, thank you, Ray Jr., for outing yourself that you're a KM in the AM closet listener. But it's amazing to me that you have people that represent, what is it, the second largest county in the state. You have Kieran Donahue, a gentleman that we've profiled on this program many times. And reading the press release last night from our great friend Joseph Decker, the public information officer, I'm thinking, is this any way for adults to get along? Now, you could say the monkeys of the media. Heck, we go at it all the time. But really, shouldn't these folks be overly communicating, over-communicating, if you will? Apparently, after a two-week fight, what is this from? Do we want to read that or we want to read the press release? To suspend the inmate labor detail, Donahue and the Canyon County Commissioners announced an agreement Tuesday to keep the labor detail funded for the 2015 fiscal year. And really, is it really necessary to have this fight? Or is it the fact of the matter that these folks, one wants the new jail, one doesn't. One wants to make sure that you know, things go. And look, people across the country, except the federal government, are facing these situations all the time. And one will begin to feel this at the pocketbook if you haven't already. Now, here's the skinny. Unlike the state legislature, the people in Canyon County, the elected officials actually heard what they said. No funding for the new jail. They've tried, what was it, not one, not two, but three times to build the new jail. No money for it, right? No money for it, number one. Number two, there's a need for the new jail, but it just doesn't happen. Now, remember the health exchange, and maybe we should have a referendum for this. The health exchange, we had all these rooty-poo, mamby-pamby, allegedly conservative legislators that said, I'm not going to vote for Obamacare. I don't care what people say. And then people speculated, big money lobbyists, big money political folks, started pressuring the freshmen. And with the coup that topped Speaker Denny, now all of a sudden we've got Obamacare here in Idaho. And you have people saying it's a good move because if we didn't do it, we'd be in a deeper trouble than we are. Well, again, it goes back to the issue of who's looking out for you. And this is why people get upset. This is why people check out. This is why people listen to Decadent, Deplorable, Mind-Rotting, Cavity-Ridden FM Jabroni Radio that does nothing but play Katy Perry hits because they're frustrated.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Or they listen to that non-intellectually stimulating sports radio where they have a bunch of guys talking about a bunch of guys. And hey, what's going to happen on the field? Ooh, look at that guy. He's wearing pants. It's just goofy. And the people win. And as I've said before, and let me be the first to say it, we will see an attempt to raise the gas tax in this state. And do I know that because I have great sources? No, I got it from Steve Ackerman and Tea Party Bob 2 years ago. Do you think that any of the quote-unquote incumbents would have gotten reelected, or through the primary, that is, renominated, if they revealed that they want a higher tax on fuel? And we heard the governor refer to it in our interview that we had with him the last time we had him on, where he said, I got a big truck. Timmy over there with his electric car, I'm paying more. I'm subsidizing things. Well, the big issue is it's really not the governor's truck, which he chooses to drive or you choose to drive. I mean, is there a state per capita that has more big trucks for residential commercial use than Idaho? But you choose to do that, just like somebody chooses to drive a Prius or an electric car or a hybrid. Should they be penalized for that? Of course not. But it's going to be interesting to see. And if you want to have fun with people running for office, I'd ask them whether they're running for legislator or dog catcher. Hey, man. Hey, gal. What would you do if, in fact, somebody proposed raising the fuel tax in the state? Now, Kevin Miller in his old days would have said, let's come up with the no new nat tax pledge. And Tea Party Bob, don't steal my idea on this one. Or we can co-brand it, if you will. I got to justify my existence around here. And everybody running for office, you sign the no fuel tax pledge. which probably should have been, put, been signed for the no health care tax pledge. And this is an issue that's going to come up. And it's easier to check out and say everything else, but then when you go to the pump to go to the lake with the boat, with the jet ski, you're paying. And we need to send a message. And getting back how it rounds back up to Canyon County, the folks there have said no. The commissioners are frustrated. The sheriff's frustrated. I would hate to see what's going to happen when the sheriff, Sheriff Donahue, a good friend of ours, runs for reelection. There's a lot of bad blood there. And who pays? The people in the county. We don't really need to see adults going back and forth with each other now, do we? I mean, middle school folks behave better. And then you have the press, everybody holding news conferences, going back and forth. I said, look, just let them duke it out here. At least we'd benefit, right? 69 degrees, Kevin Miller in the morning. Do you believe a gas tax will be coming? And do you welcome it? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Time for traffic at 5.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO coming up. Senator Crapo will join us. He'll take your calls. We go to our great friend Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, on the possibility of a fuel tax increase in the state of Idaho. Good morning, Tom.
Oh, man, I should have waited till Crapo called in. How are you, Kevin?
Timing's everything. You and Liberal Steve, he was ready to ask the follow-up question to the hemp, but you only get one call a day, so I'm sorry that you're so compelled to talk to me as opposed to the senator.
No. I'd much rather talk to you. Why do you think I call in as much as I do? Not to talk to Mr. Senator Crapo.
Well, now you're hurting his feelings. Okay, Tom, let's get to it.
No, I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. He knows I do. But, you know, I wanted to throw my two cents in about the gas tax, if I could. And that is that we need to understand why taxes are implemented. I mean, I think this is just my view, of course. But, you know, and why is the gas tax being implemented? Obviously, this is a keen and nice way of saying that the state is actually broke because it can't afford what it's, you know, what the taxes that we were originally paid for were to go to. Taxation is a funny thing. If you read the Constitution...
What are you giving me, the history of taxes? Are you willing to pay more at the pump? I mean, come on, I'm a simpleton.
Well, that's where I'm getting... That's the point I'm getting at. You know, when you look at the original taxation, the purpose of taxation, it was for infrastructure. And it was supposed to be according to the fact that everybody paid the same amount of tax. There was also a provision in there that allowed everybody else to be able to pay duties and imposts on imports. So to some degree, when they talk about a gas tax, it's not unrealistic. The problem that we're dealing with is we're dealing with a misappropriation of funds to begin with. Our taxation.
Well, look, I don't know if that's true in Idaho. I can tell you in Pennsylvania, they use the gas tax to fund the general fund and balance the budget. So I don't know if that's true here. Issue is then, you know, how do you fund the infrastructure repair?
Well, I've talked to ITD, and ITD seems to, about the roads out here in Canyon County that look a lot like Jalisco, Mexico, versus all of the pristine roads in Boise, and they basically said they don't have the funds. My point is that we're so worried about the expansion of social services, the money in perpetual wars, the more social services, you know, a variety of these other things that our taxes were never meant to be able to go to. And now the governments are forced, because of the fact that we can't continue to afford the expansion of all of these services, they have to look at trying to tax everything. And, you know, that Beatles song, I think, you know, when you walk the street, they tax your feet, is a reality. It's because we don't understand the proper application of taxation.
Look, Tom, it all comes back to this clip.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
You know, I love Chris Troop, but he's right. And so, I mean, we really, a lot of it is due to our own ignorance. We can sit there and we can get angry, and the government's going to do what they're going to do because we voted these people in. And until we become informed enough to be able to vote them out, we're going to continue to get the same thing.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom Munns.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Bye-bye. Senator Crapo is with us. He's going to be here for the next half hour. Your thoughts on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, with regard to this gas tax question that you've been discussing, the fact is that the gas tax that we have should not be used for anything except infrastructure. And there has been an effort in some parts of the country to expand gas tax usage to other things, which I think is a very bad trend. And frankly, I oppose increasing the gas tax today. We do have infrastructure needs, but there are ways that we can find revenue without raising taxes. The idea that we've got to just keep justifying spending, even in this case, justifiable spending with new taxes, is just wrong.
All right, quickly to traffic at 580K. All right, Brian, thank you very much. It is 7:59, as you heard. Senator Crapo is with us. He'll be here with us till about 8:30. And then new state chairman, GOP chairman, Stephen Yates will join us as well. A lot going on today. Stay with us. Stay informed. You're listening to 580 KIDO. Serving Emma.